Praise God. Go ahead and turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 2, second chapter of the Gospel of Luke. Second chapter of Luke's Gospel. Amen. Praise God. All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time. Thank you for Jesus.
Yes, yes.
And we celebrate his birth.
Yes.
Glory to your name. We celebrate his birth. Glory to your name. And now, Father, as I minister your word, I don't do this in my own strength, but I rest in the Holy Spirit. I yield to his leadership. I yield this vessel that he may use it and speak through it. And I pray, Father, that every person under the sound of my voice will have ears to hear your word, a heart to receive your word. Hallelujah. Thank you for your anointing upon me to minister your word. Thank you for your presence here this morning. Hallelujah. And we give you the glory. We remind the devil he's defeated thoroughly. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. And everyone said,
amen.
Amen. All right. In the second chapter of Luke, I'll give you my subject in a moment. Now, but before I begin reading, now it's a little bit warm up here where I am. You guys okay out there? Warm. Okay. I'm going to need a little air up here. Praise God. Yeah. All right. In Luke chapter 2, for well, I'll begin reading at verse 1. And I'm reading from the New King James Bible, and it says, "And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius," and I hope I'm pronouncing that right, "was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered." Verse 7, "And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings.'" Everybody say, "Good tidings."
Good tidings.
Amen. "Good tidings of great joy, which will be to all peoples." Everybody say, "All people." "For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign, this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. My subject to you today is three reasons to celebrate Christmas. Three reasons to celebrate Christmas. This is a time to celebrate. And I want to share with you three reasons. There are many, many. God's done so much for us. But I want to share with you three reasons. Reason number one is because God loves us. God loves mankind. God loves his creation. We have to understand that we are God's idea. Tell yourself that. Say, I'm God's idea. Amen. You're God's idea. I know bad things happen. Some folks are products of rape. Their mom was impregnated because she was raped, or some type of violent act. And I want to tell you right now, that was not God. But it was God who placed your spirit in your body. Hallelujah. See, it's already designed that if certain things take place, that you will get a result from it. Amen? And I hope you follow me on this, because I'm not taking that too much further. But certain things in nature causes a certain result. So even though a lady may have been raped, she may have been impregnated because of the course of nature, things that happen naturally, that would be wrong for her to be impregnated. That's devilish. I'm talking about as a result of rape now, or violent, some violent act. That's devilish. That didn't come from God. But even in the midst of that, God chose to place the human spirit in a body. And God chose to love that person. Are y'all following me? I know I'm kind of being a little bit vague here, and that's intentional. But the point I'm trying to make to you is, regardless of who you are, regardless of your circumstances, whatever happened in your past, God still loves you. That's what I'm getting at. God still loves you. Amen. And he proved it by sending his son, Jesus Christ. Amen. He proved it by sending Jesus. Now, and this is a very familiar verse that I want to read to you. It's in the third chapter of John, verse 16. It says, "For God so loved the world," that's everybody, "that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish." Now notice here, God loved the world. Amen? He does love the world. He loves mankind. And he gave his son because he loves mankind. But what this verse continues to tell us is that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You hear me? Amen. So we still have a free will. We still can make up our own mind. God gave us his son, but we have to choose to believe in him. We have to choose to accept him. But God gave us his son because he loves us and he does not want us to perish. He does not want us to have eternal damnation. He wants us to have and enjoy eternal life. That's one of the reasons that Jesus came. That's the reason he came. Because God loves his people. Matter of fact, go with me quickly because I'm going to try to move rather quickly here. Go to 1 John, the first epistle of John. Hallelujah. Chapter 4. If you drop down to verse 7, it says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God." Look at verse 8. "He who does not love does not know God." Why? For God is love. For God is love. Now, drop down to verse 16. It says, "And we have known and believed the love that God has for us." There it is again. God is love. And he who abides in love abides in God and God in him. So here's the point I want to make to you. God loves us because that's his very nature. That's who God is. That's who God is. God is love. Amen. God is love. God hates sin. Now, sometimes folks try to get it confused. They say, okay, well, I can go and do whatever I want to, live however I want to, you know, and since God loves me, you know, I'm okay because God will never let anything happen to me. I'm here to tell you God loves you, but God will let you go to hell. Say that again. God loves you, but he will let you go to hell. He will not violate your will. If you want to go to hell, God will let you go to hell. He don't want you to go there. He made the way through Christ Jesus for us to have eternal life. But we're made in God's image and in his likeness. We are spirit, soul, and body. We are eternal beings. And God has given us the liberty to make up our own minds. To make up our own minds. To accept Christ Jesus or to reject Christ Jesus. The choice is ours. The choice is ours. But God's will, and I said it earlier, is that none be lost, but that all come to repentance. Amen. But God himself is love. He is wall-to-wall love.
Amen. So number one, Jesus came because God loves mankind. Number two, Jesus came to bring hope to the hopeless. So you have to understand something. Jesus came so that we could be born again. He was born and then he died and then he rose again so that we can be born again and have eternal life. But I want you to know that once you are born again, he does not desert you and tell you, child, you are on your own until you come to heaven. Just try to make it the best way you can. No. That's not it. Jesus came to bring hope to the hopeless. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. And I'll begin reading at verse 11. Therefore, remember that you once Gentiles in the flesh who are called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision made in the flesh by hands. That at that time you were without Christ. At one time we were without Christ. Being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. You see that? Having no hope and without God in the world. But look at verse 13. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he, verse 14, for he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation. Amen. Listen, at one time we had no hope. But because of Jesus Christ, we have hope today. Amen. Let's look at what Jesus himself said. Like I said, we're traveling a little bit today. Amen. So turn in your Bibles to the book of Luke. Book of Luke, chapter 4. I want you to grab a hold of this. Luke chapter 4. I'll begin reading at verse 16. It says, so he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah, and when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. Now listen to this. Jesus is telling us the reason he came. He says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Let me tell you something. Jesus cares about the poor. You hear me? Let me say that again. Jesus cares about the poor. Hallelujah. To preach the gospel to the poor. Listen to this. He has sent me. He has sent me. Who is he? God the Father. God the Father. He has sent me to do what? To heal the brokenhearted. I don't care who you are. If your heart is broken, you can be healed through Jesus Christ today. Amen. Don't care who you are. You can be healed. You can be set free. Because Jesus says, I came to heal the brokenhearted. And he goes on to say, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. To set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. In other words, Jesus says, I have come to set you free. I have come to give you victory while you are still in the earth. Are you still with me? He has given us victory. Victory to live here. This is not our home. This is not our home. We're passing through here. We have our citizenship in heaven. But in the meantime, while we are here, we can live in victory through Christ Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Number three, Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. He came to destroy the works of the devil. Turn in your Bibles to 1 John, first epistle of John. First epistle of John. Verse 8. Let's look at verse 8. Well, matter of fact, let's back up to verse 4. Amen. Verse 4 says, whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. And you know that he was manifested, that's Jesus, and you know that he was manifested to take away our sins. And in him there is no sin. I apologize. Chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. So let me start over at verse 4, okay? We'll start over at verse 4. Whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins. And in him there is no sin. Hallelujah. Jesus came to this earth to take away my sins, your sins. Verse 6, whoever abides in him does not sin. Now, some folks have taken this and ran the wrong direction with it. And I've heard some guys say, this has been a number of years back, say, well, you know what? I have matured to the place where I don't sin no more. I don't ever have to be concerned about sin. Yeah, I heard them say it. On television, now it's been a while back, but you know, we have matured and we no longer sin. And he was teaching, you know, that the rest of us got to get to that place where they are, that no longer sin. And I don't know for a fact, but I kind of heard that at some point those guys messed up. So, I don't guess they had arrived. Let me tell you something. We've always got to keep our guard up. That's the reason we have to stay in the Word of God. Amen. We have to stay in the Word of God. We have to have a prayer life. And we have to do what we just read. We got to love one another. And not just words only, but indeed. Because even if you're doing everything else right, man, if you're perfect in every way except the love walk, you still have big problems. If you don't believe it, read 1 Corinthians chapter 13. You can give everything you got away to feed the poor. You can do whatever, you know, talk in tongues, whatever. But if you don't have a love walk, you still have problems. And that's one of the areas that we as believers must work on is our love walk. Let me say that again. You hear me say it a lot, and you'll continue to hear me say it. Because when I stand before God, I don't want the Father or Jesus to have to ask me, why didn't you tell them to love one another? Well, I'm telling you now, it is very, very necessary that we love one another. And not just saying, I love you, but really loving one another and showing it by our actions. Amen. Now let's go back. Let's go back. Which verse did I stop at? 6. All right. Whoever abides in him does not sin. Whoever sins has neither seen him nor known him. What this is talking about is habitual sins. You hear me? Habitual sins. I mean, you know you're doing wrong, but you keep on doing it. Can I get 2 or 3 more amens on that? Amen. You know what you're doing is wrong. You know what you're doing God is not pleased with, but you keep on doing it. That's what this is talking about. Amen. Sometimes we do mess up. So, you know, sometimes, you know, if you're married, sometimes, you know, you can get upset with your spouse and then have to go and apologize later or repent, you know. But that doesn't mean you habitually doing that. That's not a lifestyle for you. You might have just got caught at a bad moment. And hopefully the more we grow in Christ, those moments will become less and 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 less. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm happy to stand before you and tell you that me and Mother Catherine, we get along real good. I want to tell you, we have a good marriage, and I thank God. I thank God for this woman. She's a good woman. Amen. She's a good wife. She's a good mother. Amen. I think she's a good first lady, too, don't y'all?
Amen.
Yeah. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. But now I want to tell you, though, both of us, we've been married 47 years, and we have matured over the past 47 years. Because I remember in the early years of our marriage, when I was still in service, we wouldn't let a weekend go by that we didn't have an argument about something. I mean, we weren't going to waste a weekend without disagreeing on something. But you know what? Both of us was immature. We were immature. Both of us had a lot to learn. After all, I was single. She was single. I was not used to living with somebody. She wasn't used to living with anyone other than her family. So we had to adjust to one another. And of course, we wasn't getting the word of God that you guys are getting now. You hear me? We wasn't getting the word of God like you're getting it right now. Praise God. Praise God. Let's move on. But we should not live a life of habitual sin. Verse 7. Little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness, notice how this is written. He who practices righteousness is righteous just as he is righteous. In other words, he who lives right does what's right. Verse 8, he who sins is of the devil. In other words, he's being influenced, he or she, being influenced by the devil, not by the Holy Spirit. For the devil has sinned from the beginning. Now listen, this is where we're going with this. For this purpose, The Son of God was manifested, why? That he might destroy the works of the devil. Amen. He was manifested. That's the reason he came. That's the reason he showed up on this earth, to destroy the works of the devil, so that the devil could not have a chokehold over your life anymore. Hallelujah. Praise God. That word destroy means to lose. You know, the devil had us in prison, didn't he? Jesus came and set us free. So to be loose from the chains that bind, to dissolve, to sever, which means to separate from, to break. Jesus broke the devil's back. To demolish, to crush. Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. And now we need to always keep that in our spirit, that the devil has already been destroyed. He's already a defeated foe. He's a foe, but he's a defeated foe. And we have to keep that in mind at all times. Amen. I like the last half of this verse in the Passion Translation. I'm not going to read the whole verse. But it says, the reason the Son of God was revealed was to undo and destroy the works of the devil. Get that in your spirit. I'm going to read it to you again. The reason the Son of God was revealed was to undo and destroy the works of the devil. Everything that Adam lost, Jesus got it back. Praise the name of the Lord. And I want to close with one of my favorite scripture verses in the book of John. Turn to John chapter 10, please. Amen. I want all the praise team, I want you to come back. Thank you, Lord Jesus. John chapter 10. And I want to close with what Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 10. Jesus says, the thief, which is the devil, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. He comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus said, now this is the reason I come. He says, I have come that they, so that means me. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it, what? More abundantly. That little baby lying in a manger came to destroy the works of the devil and to give us an abundant life. I'm so glad we don't have to wait till we get on the other side to experience joy. I'm so glad to know that we don't have to wait till we get to heaven to have peace. I'm so glad to know that we don't have to wait for heaven to have victory. We can have it right here on this earth. But if we never faced any obstacles, if there was no resistance, there would be no need for victory. Victory comes when you win a fight. You hear what I'm saying? Victory comes when you win. Well, let me tell you something. Jesus won the victory for us. Let me say it this way. He won the war. Yeah, we have to deal with little skirmishes here and there. But he told us to go and win them too. Don't quit. God loves you. God loves you folks out there. That's the reason Jesus came, to set you free. And if you happen to be watching this live stream or at any time later on, just want to let you know God loves you and Jesus wants to come into your life. He wants to set you free, give you freedom in your life from whatever it is you may be dealing with. He wants to come in and change some things for you. And I just want to extend to you an invitation to receive him right now into your heart as your Lord and as your Savior. And it's simple. Just say, Lord, I give my life to you. I turn my entire being. I turn it over to you. Come into my life, Lord Jesus. Forgive me of my sins. I repent of my sins. You come into my life and be Lord of my life. I make you Lord. I make you Lord. And you lead me and you guide me. If you ask him to do that, receive it right now by faith. By faith. He will set you free. Amen. Pray this prayer with me. Say, thank you, Lord Jesus, for coming into my life and setting me free. Right now, I am a brand new person on the inside. I belong to you, Lord, and I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if you're there and you're sick in your body, you need healing for your body, I just want you to get ready.